The Thrive Podcast, led by faith to elevate His name, encourage the body of Christ, enrich our families, and serve our brothers and sisters through hard work and with integrity, bringing glory to God. This is how we thrive. And now, your host, Casey Majorca.
Welcome back to the Thrive Podcast. Good to have you this week. We got a great show for you today. We interviewed Amanda Mott with Desperate Ministries. It's a great blog that she's got written, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. Wanted to take a little second to talk about, kind of how my week's been. Last week or so, just been kind of down in the dumps, a little bit of a funk going on, and you know, there's no reason for it. Starting to pull myself out, mainly because I started turning back towards God, and I don't know why I kind of walked away. And you know, I didn't just turn away from God for the sake of doing so. I just found myself drifting away, and one of the biggest reasons is because I'm not spending a lot of time reading my Bible. And let me tell you something. When you spend time reading the Bible, and the times that I've done that, and that I'm really good about doing that, I find myself closer. Why? That is our way to fellowship with God, to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And when you don't do that, what you're going to find is you're going to find a lot of things in your life don't seem to be going the way you wanted them to go. And I think all of us have been in this situation before, and, you know, I can't say that I won't ever do that again, but, you know, it's one of those things that I'm starting to be more mindful when it happens. I sit here and I say, wow, what am I doing? You know, I need to get out of this. And I'd even find myself in this attitude of just like, I don't feel like doing this right now. And then all of a sudden I'm singing a worship song, or I find myself just praising God, even though I am turned away, just not really actively engaged or wanting to be. And what's funny is by just doing that, I turn around and God's there. He's just waiting for me. And what I realize is really, no matter how far away you walk, every time you turn around, He's right there. I think we've all heard that kind of story before, but it's true. The idea is He never leaves you, no matter what you do. And I just wanted to let everybody know out there that may be having that same feeling right now. Just turn back. Turn around. He's right there. And He'll walk all the way back with you. And that's the beautiful thing. Just realize that, you know, He never let go of you. He's been there the whole time. There's really nothing you can do that will make Him not want you again. So if that's you today, turn around and start walking. He'll be right there with you, and things just keep getting better day by day by day. I think we all have these struggles, and we just need to get past them as quick as possible. So don't sit there and be down in the dumps for no reason. Trust me, you know, having had my little pity party and for no reason other than that's just what I felt like doing, and it was dumb. I tell you, it's embarrassing. But I want you to let you know, hey, you know what happens to all of us, and you know, don't look back. That's the worst thing. Just don't look back. Don't think about it. Just go, Jesus, thank you so much for everything you've given me. Thank you for being there right when I turned around. And invite the Holy Spirit back in and say, Holy Spirit, just take control again. To just live inside of me. Show me what you want me to do. And it can only get better. That's the beautiful thing about it. With that being said, I'm jumping right back in there and doing just that, and I hope you really get something out of this. All right, in the studio tonight, we have Amanda Mott with Desperate Ministries. Welcome to the Thrive Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So you've got this website, desperateministries.com. Tell us a little bit about what it is.
Well, it's mainly me writing, but also we've had one guest writer, which has been great. And basically, they're just messages that I have received and or life experiences I've walked through, part of the word that has struck me, and I've, you know, been released to share what has on my heart, what I've walked through. And I feel like this is the time, this is what I'm supposed to share. And then I write it out. And I try to do one about every week or so, give or take.
I know we know exactly what that's like here.
Yep.
Excellent. And the name Desperate Ministries, I'm going to be honest, when I first read it, I was kind of like, really? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then I went on your website and started reading a little bit about how that came up. And I was like, oh, I really like that. So I want you to share with our listeners where that name came up with, because it's not the typical name you'd think of when you talk about a Christian ministry.
No, you think of more, you know, living water ministry or something upbeat or happy. And desperate is not something people want to necessarily associate themselves with, nor did I necessarily. But I went through kind of a long season of seeking what God had for me and my life and just waiting for his call, waiting for his assignment. And that came about a year ago, when I was just seeking him, and I felt like he was saying, I want you to be my messenger, to be my voice, to be a prophet for me. I was a little overwhelmed by that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, the first thought to your head thinks of all the prophets you read about in the Bible. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
it's not necessarily something that you want to do. When I was actually 15 years old, I was on a mission trip, and somebody prophesied over me that I was going to have a prophetic ministry at that point. And they said I would speak words of fire like Jeremiah. Not something a 15-year-old girl is super excited to hear.
No, not at all.
But it always stuck with me. And so when that call came to me, actually out of Jeremiah, directly from God's word, and God said, this is the timing, this is the call, this is the assignment, I stepped out and I started reaching out to other leaders around me, seeking advice, seeking counsel. Some people just said, yes, we've seen that in you for a long time, go. And then others were not so sure. And especially when they asked me about my plans, like, well, how are you going to make that happen? And well, what are you going to do? And when I just kind of looked at them with a blank stare, they really didn't know what to make of that. It's like, well, God gives you plans and he gives you directions and he gives you A, B, C, D, E. And I'm like, well, I'm not seeing that in God's word, where God calls us to something and then gives us A, B, C, D, E. A lot of times he calls us and just says, go, and I will show you, you know, I will lead you with the pillar of smoke by day and fire by night. And for me, that was the call. And so one of these people who I greatly respected and sat down with, when I presented him with the calling, he said, well, let me pray about that and I'll get back to you. And so a week later, we sat down with him and we said, we don't know all that this is supposed to look like. We know it's prophetic in nature. We know that we're called to serve the churches, to be a support. We know that there may be some traveling in the future. Outside of that, we have absolutely no idea. And he said, you know, I got a word when you first spoke to me, but I took it before the Lord and I prayed about it. And you know, this just feels very desperate to me. And we just kind of sat back and went, oh, okay. We didn't really know what to make with it. And we said, are you okay if we talk about this with people? And he's like, yeah, I stand behind my word. This is what I feel. And we said, oh, okay. And, you know, we've talked to him about it and just said, well, I don't think it quite came off the way you intended it to come off, but how we walked away with it was like, this isn't a good thing. Where are you going?
Yeah.
You're heading off a cliff is kind of how it felt.
Right.
Or his advice felt at the time. And that night I was laying in bed and feeling very kind of overwhelmed with that idea, feeling just brokenhearted.
A little deflated.
Yeah. Yeah. That this person I really cared about and admired would think that of me. And God said, no. You don't understand. He might have gotten that word, but he didn't really understand what that meant. You are desperate, but not desperate in a way that he could ever understand. He's like, people might feel that, from you, but it's because you are so desperate to serve me. You are so desperate to not find your answers anywhere else but me. And if you actually look up the word desperate in the dictionary, yes, what it means is you have searched, you have looked everywhere, you have exhausted your own efforts and come out with no hope. And when we look at life, if we do not get to that place where we have exhausted our energies and realize there's no hope, we will just keep trying. It is human nature just to keep trying.
Yes.
Yes. Until we reach the place where we realize the only hope is in Jesus. So that's the story behind Desperate Ministries.
Man, that's good stuff. I love that one. So this obviously, now, you know, some people out there might say, you know, you're not the first one on our podcast to say, you know, I've received this calling and I've heard from God. And some people might think that, well, come right out, say it's a little weird. And
It was a little weird. I'll be honest.
No, it is. And you know, what's funny about that is when I started being more serious as a Christian, I started hearing those things and they kind of made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, after doing some more reading, one of the things I love is just like, stop calling the Holy Spirit weird. That's the thing that I heard someone tell me one time and I loved it. Because it's like, wait a minute, he's not weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now as I myself am starting to hear from him, there's two things. First of all, it's not weird. It's comforting. Second of all, you know, when we give these cryptic things and people are like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know. That's just what you get. Yeah, that's actually what you get. A lot of times you are not meant to understand it. It's not like when I give you a direction, like don't sit too close to the microphone. Don't make this sound. You know, we were going over, you know, how you record this thing. Those are very clear instructions.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what you get from God a lot of times.
Yeah, no.
unless you really need correction. And that, believe me, those are not the ones you want. But so I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, was that your feeling when you first received a calling from God?
Well, to be clear, I had been seeking a calling for a long time. So I knew what I was doing at the time wasn't what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. I was waiting on the Lord, and he had told me there was more coming. But when it actually came, I won't be lie, it felt weird. It felt weird because it wasn't anything I thought I would be doing. I have a background in theater, and when I graduated with my degree in theater, God said, okay, now walk away. And I said, okay. But then there was always a little part of my heart that was like, well, maybe we'll go back there. Well, maybe God will bring me back to pick it back up. And through all the other experiences I had, through all the other seasons I had, I always kind of kept that little bit in the back of my head. Well, maybe I'll get back to this. And so when his calling did come, it didn't have anything to do with it. I'd say that was the weird part for me, is because I kind of... It was a complete abandonment of my own ideas.
Yes.
And my dreams and my thoughts. Although at the same time, it felt like a fulfillment of my own heart. And so that was the crazy part about it. But at the same time, you're right. It isn't a weird thing in sense of that God speaks to us because he gave us his word.
Yes.
He's already given us his speaking to us in a physical, tangible form.
Right.
So the fact that he takes pieces of that and still communicates to our hearts through other people, through worship, through, you know, private meditation and prayer, he's already using all these other avenues to speak to us. This is just one other form. So in that way, it is. It's very comforting.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I know we're our conversation here is flowing really good. And everybody's like, what is this all about? So we're gonna let the secret out of the bag. We both grew up in the same place. We were both born and raised in the same part of Southern California.
Yes, we were.
And so right off the bat, you know, we've been under the same trials, the same problems. We've, yep. we've and we've all both had the same outlook on it as well. That's the other reason we get along so well. Nothing to say if any of my friends from back in California are listening to this, you know. Don't be offended, but no, I don't like California anymore.
Amen.
Amen, I'm saying. So it's kind of funny that, you know, where I wanted to head with this was, you know, did you ever think that this is where you would be when you were back there just coming out of high school? You know, because I already know the answer and you know the answer on my side of it. But and so do most people because I talk too much. That's why I have this show. But what I'm wondering is, you know, when you were coming out of high school, is this really where you thought you'd end up being right now and doing what you'd be doing right now?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I kind of hinted at that before, but oh no, I had my own plans for my life and I was convinced I was going to be living in New York and acting. I never really wanted to be a film actor. I really wanted to do theater acting, but I was convinced I was going to be. I knew from the time I was like three that I was going to be on stage and this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm going to do. And this is how, you know, if God can use me, but as long as it's kind of on the backside, because this is what I want to do. And so I was convinced I would be living at least in a major city. You know, maybe Seattle, I don't know, but I was going to be acting and I was convinced. And then I go to church on Sundays, maybe, you know, if I felt like it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Even though I'd had this amazing anointing and calling on my life, you know, by a missionary, I kind of was like, okay, guy, whatever, you know. And but yeah, that was clearly the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My favorite joke is always, when you're sitting there and you think you've got life all figured out, it's like, man, this is exactly what I'm going to do. This is exactly where I'm going to go. God's like, huh, yeah, sounds like a good plan. Here, let's do this.
Yeah.
And just kind of brushes it off and says, okay, I'm going to erase this and we're going to, by the way, we're going to transplant you all the way across the country. Like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bring you back. Wait, now, well, why did you? And a lot of times you sit there and you think, okay, well, wouldn't it have been easier to? And then you just kind of remember, it's like, oh, that's right. I'm not God.
Yes.
He sees things a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be a recurring theme on this podcast of, you know, God doesn't think like we do.
Yeah.
And so since he knows everything from beginning to end and he knows how it all plays out, why don't we all just kind of come to the realization and say, okay, why don't I just be obedient? And that was a conversation we were having out there, and me and Jen have had many times, of sometimes you just sit there and you have to say, I'm going to be obedient until the desire comes.
Yes.
And a lot of times it's not a bad thing. You know, it's because it's for our own good.
Yes.
Most of the time it's, I'm going to be obedient. I know he's got something better for me. And down the road, you look back and you go, I can't believe I had to be, quote unquote, made to do that. Because now I'm like, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Great example for me is worship. And I know you're going to go somewhere with this. But for me, you know, I was not a big person on worship. I loved showing up 15 minutes late because I'm just, the worship thing wasn't me. And now I'm in there. I got my hands up. You know, I've graduated from holding the baby to the touchdown. You know, I'm doing the whole thing. And it's amazing how it was it started with the obedient to the desire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is your thought on that?
Well, for me, worship was never challenging. I think I was the crazy person who was raising their hands the first Sunday they got saved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just always been me. But that place of obedience is just, it's God's grace. Because God cares for us so much more than he cares for anything we could ever do for him. He cares about the condition of our hearts. You know, you look at the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years because God cared more about their hearts than getting them into the promised land. And not only that, but knowing that what was waiting for them in the promised land was so much more than anything they could ever even begin to handle because they weren't being obedient to God.
Yes.
And I know for me that God did not give me what he had in store for me till I was ready. And he didn't give it to me a second sooner. And I'm one of those people who battles with running ahead I will take something and I will run 50 miles down the road with it. And so God's like, just take your hands off of everything. So sometimes when I speak, people are like, well, what's your plan? Well, I'm like, I can't have a plan. No, you don't understand. It took me 5 years to stop having plans for God. I need to stop and just trust him and wait, and he will tell me where mm-hmm. we're going. And because for me, that's how God has to work through me, because his relationship with me is way more important than anything I could ever do for him or with him, because it's him and I. And if anything's ever going to hurt the relationship I have with him, then nothing else matters. And I think that's the heart that I hope people get too when they are looking and praying and seeking what they can do for God, is to remember that their individual relationship with God is so much more important than anything they could ever do for God.
Yeah. It's funny when you were saying that. All I could picture you there is when somebody says, so what's your plan? You kind of put your head down. I'm not allowed to have plans
yes.
anymore.
Pretty much. That's it.
And everybody's laughing at that. But you got to ask yourself, what's that part that God told you that you're not allowed to have because mm-hmm. you can't be trusted? Guess what? We've all have that one yeah. thing. And some of us may share, oh, yeah, that's mine too. But you know what? We all have this part where we had to let go and let God.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, that's the hardest thing. It's the most freeing thing. And it's
yes.
the best thing you
yes.
could ever do. So if anybody's struggling with that right now, this one's for you.
Yes.
Since you started the blog, have you felt like this has affected your walk and your life ever since this started?
Yes, I'm way more intentional. I mean, I've always been intentional about being in his word. A lot of the things I had been writing and doing devotionals, and God, you know, showed me in retrospect. He's like, you see, I've been preparing you for this blog for the last 5 years as you've been writing in your devotionals, and kind of going, oh, okay. You know, kind of in retrospect going, okay, oh, I get it now.
Hindsight's 2020,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, especially with the Lord. You're like, oh, you're working in it all along. I just had to trust you. Oh, yeah, obvious. But yeah, I think the thing too that has stood out to me is how much closer it brings me to him. I'm in the Word a lot anyway, but also I think my favorite part, and this is going to sound really weird, but, you know, a lot of my stuff sounds really weird, is when nobody reads it and I don't get any responses.
Really?
Yes. And the reason for that is because the Lord showed me that when I put something out that I get no responses on, that I'm doing it for him. I'm not doing it for anybody else.
Excellent.
I'm doing this as worship before him. And so now I kind of have a little saying just kind of with myself. Oh, no, now not so much just with myself, is that if I get responses, then it's for other people. And if I don't get any responses, well, then this one's just for me.
It's like, oh, whoops, I wrote that. Okay, that apparently I'm the only, you know,
yep,
Pastor Matt
audience.
Always jokes about that. Oh, this one just must be for me.
Yep.
Apparently you're living that one out.
Yes, I am. And it's like, okay, if I'm, you know, I'm not getting a response, then amen. Because then how much better it is for me. Because if I was doing it just for God, I needed that reminder in that moment of whatever I wrote. But also I needed that reminder that what I'm doing is for the Lord, and that's it.
Yes. And you know, it's not a waste, because a lot of times God's gonna give you something, and it could very well just be a test.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to tempt, but he will test.
Yes.
And sometimes it's, are you gonna do it? And mm-hmm. so you do it, going into it going, nobody's gonna get anything out of this. No, why am I going through this? And he, are you gonna do it?
Yep.
All right, so you do it, and you get to the end. See, it wasn't for anybody. And he goes, no, it was for you.
It was for you.
Okay. And sometimes, you know, you have to come to that.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily something, and I love how you've taken it to where, you know, you could just as easily sink back and go, whoa, I put all that time into it, and nobody saw it, and woe is me.
Oh, I've had those moments.
but you've at least found out what it was for,
yes.
and you've come to the realization. I mean, yeah, you're human.
Yes.
That's all going to happen, right? I mean, obviously. Well, one of the things I was listening to was Pastor Steve earlier in October. He was talking about a sermon that he did, The Calling That Leads to Your Calling. And he talked a lot about, you know, if you don't know your calling and you're not sure what to do, do something, you know, and get yourself in the trenches until you're called up, you know. Yeah. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. What were your thoughts on that? Did that hit close to home for you?
Yes. My husband and I, we've walked through various seasons with that. And one of the seasons we walked through, I think, was a little bit more challenging because we just kind of always assumed we would just kind of serve wherever. We didn't kind of get that there was an additional calling on our life. We just thought, so show up and serve outside of, you know, for me, I always wanted to do theater and my husband had his callings and we just kind of figured, well, that's our main calling and church is kind of a side thing, you know? And then the more involved we got, the more we realized that that God had more for us, that we were called to more than that. And at the time, we had different people kind of influencing us and talking to us about what they thought our calling was. And we let a lot of people kind of influence us and lead us into different areas that ended up not being our calling. And but they just saw that we had a heart to serve. And so they're like, well, they need direction. Here they go. You know, and it ended up not being what really the Lord had for us.
Right.
So we had to go through a season of stepping back and not doing what we thought everybody else wanted us to do, but going, what is God saying here? What does God want? And it was when we were walking through that season that amazingly, God was very clear about what he wanted from us. And it wasn't what everybody else was saying. It was what he was saying. And he's, you know, take this, pick this up. This is from me. And explaining why we had been in seasons where we felt pulled in all these different directions. And our family calling is to be a support. And so when you're called to be a support system, especially to a church, you show passion wherever there's a need. And so people just start to kind of plug you in. It's like, oh, well, you know, there's a need for children's ministry. We get plugged in and off we go. And now all of a sudden we're over here, or, you know, we're the children's directors, or we're serving every other Sunday. And wait, how did that happen? You know, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
So that was part of our journey, is we needed to step back and take some time and say, God, what are you saying? And then set some boundaries around that for our family and for our hearts and say, okay, this is God's calling. We're not to pick up this thing or this thing. There's even when there's a need, we are to pray and trust that God will bring the right people for those assignments in those places, and to trust him for what we were supposed to do and not anything else. And then even inside of that, even when we did receive our calling, knowing where God calls us to go with that, you know, and not just walk around picking up everything that looks like that. It's like, oh, well, I'm called to prophecy. So that means that I'm supposed to just get words about the future and focus on the future. Or I'm just supposed to get dreams and that have prophetic meaning and go off on that. But more so that you would just trust God with your calling even.
Yes.
And trust God to show you what that even is supposed to mean. That it's about that relationship with God and walking that out, and not about man putting his hands on things.
Yep.
Whether it's my hands on things or whether it's other people telling me how they think God's calling should look in my life.
Bam, that last one. I love that. What other people think it should look like. Remember, check in with the guy in charge first.
Yes.
Well, that'll preach all by itself.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, if you have a chance, definitely check out Desperate Ministries. It's at desperateministries.com. Amanda Mott is obviously the keynote writer on there. But, you know, keep your eye out. And if you're interested, you know, drop her an email. You never know. You might find yourself up on the website. Amanda, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun to sit down and talk to Amanda. And it was fun to hear her talk about the passion she has behind her blog. And I know you and I have been talking about recently how the messages that are being preached right now, everybody is on the same page about getting close to God, listening to God, understanding what he wants for us, getting in the word, and how important that is.
Yeah, you know, I think she touched on that subject quite a bit as far as, you know, when she, God had told her what she was supposed to do, have this prophetic ministry, and there were people around her who said, yeah, no, maybe not. You know, that's not for you. I don't see that in you. And I think you have to just really be grounded in God's word to know that that's really what God has for you, because you're always going to have those people around you that are going to say, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. This isn't what you're supposed to be following. This really isn't truth. And so if you're grounded in God's word, if you're grounded in that, you know who you are, who God says you are, that you won't be distracted by those things, that you'll just continue. Not that you're judging or condemning those people or saying they're wrong, but you know who you are, and you're just going to walk that out, however that's going to look.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know this is one thing I need to work on big time. And lately, with all the things that I've been listening to, all the things I've been seeing, I have been convicted more and more that I need to read my Bible more. And I really don't think that's one of those things you can do too much.
No.
So definitely, those of you out there that share that conviction with me, get out there, read the Word, carve that time away. I know, you know, we joked about that in the very first episode we put out,
yeah,
that said, in that busy, fast-paced, can't sit down for a second world, find that second, sit down, get close to God.
Yeah, arrange your day around that versus arranging that around your day.
And that's the Mayorga Minute.
All right, well, that's it for this week. We really look forward to seeing Amanda back in the studio. We got some really good shows lined up in the future here. Most recent will be Aaron Quinones will be joining us back in the studio again to let us know how Operation Restore Hope turned out with his latest trip to Mexico on that one. Make sure you get in all your questions that we want to ask for him, thrivepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can also send any questions you have for any of our guests or me. If you liked the episode, share it on Facebook. Get the word out. Until the next episode, remember, God wants us to do more than just survive. He'd like us to thrive. Have a blessed week.